Well, driving from Kansas City to Washington, D.C. would probably cost you more than $170 just for gas. But what if you could power your way across the country using tweets, hashtags, Facebook posts, and Instagram follows? Students at MindDrive, a nonprofit after-school program for at-risk youth, built an electric car that runs on, get this, social media fuel. They're looking for your shares, likes, and retweets to get their restored 1967 Carbon Ghia to the nation's capital. Once they arrive, they'll be meeting with Congressman Emanuel Cleaver and representatives from the Departments of Transportation, Education, and Energy, just to name a few. The trip launches from Union Station next Friday. Here to talk to us a little bit about the car and the students and the staff behind it are Andrew Treese. He's a junior at Shawnee Mission East High School. He helped build the car by participating in Mind Drive this school year. Andrew, nice to have you. Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Steve Reese is the CEO of Mind Drive. He's an architect and an educator as well. Steve, good to have you.
Thank you.
And Brandon Nod. Brandon is a technical director at VML, a digital interactive agency, and he focuses on social consumer engagement. Brandon, nice to have you too.
Thanks very much.
So let me get this straight, Brandon. This is an electric car, and it's powered by social media. Come on.
Yes, thanks for that. When we looked at MindDrive and some of the opportunities that we had, we really felt like social was the right way to get the word out about MindDrive. And then we came up with this clever way to power the car through social media.
Well, I get that. I get the promotional aspect. What I don't get is how does social media actually power a 1967 Carmen Ghia?
Sure. So we know how much power it takes to get to Washington, D.C. That's measured in watts. We know what our goals are to get the message out about this program and about these kids. So we came up with a formula that bridges the gap between what messaging we want and what we need to get in terms of that electricity. And so that formula translates a tweet, a Facebook post, a social interaction into mileage, into energy for these kids.
I still don't get it. How does that translate into power for an automobile?
Sure. So it's an equivalent. We know that a watt is a very specific amount of energy. It takes 192 watts for this car to go 1 mile.
Mm-hmm.
We know that this program needs to get out. It needs to be heard by America. It needs to be heard by the nation, and it's being heard internationally. So we set some goals. We'd like to achieve a certain number of Facebook posts, of likes, of video watches. And we took all those goals, we lined them up, and we created a formula, a calculation, like an equivalent to what that would take. How much buzz do we need to create in order to get these kids to Washington?
Mm-hmm.
So if that's helpful, where the formula is what bridges the gap between that social campaign and the energy required.
And Steve, help me here. So by retweeting and liking, I'm actually generating power to fuel this 67 Carmen Ghia?
Well, the Carmen Ghia has has batteries in the car.
Yeah.
And what the social fuel does is it either turns the batteries on or off. So as we go down the road,
it literally does that.
Literally through the sky, through the clouds, and technology. There's a device on the car, and when we stop to charge the car, if we don't have enough social fuel, it turns the switch off, and we're not able to go forward.
So Brandon, let's come to you. Andrew, I'm sorry. Let's come to you. So literally, when someone tweets or retweets or likes this thing, it translates to energy for this car.
Yeah, we have a tablet in the car that is hooked up 3G, and it'll tell a little black box. We have a I guess you'd call it a wattage meter.
Mm-hmm.
If it's in the green, we're good. Yellow, we're getting a little bit close to low.
Yeah.
And if it's in the red, little red red LED on this little black box, that won't let us go.
Mm-hmm. And so, again, if you get enough people tweeting this thing, it'll actually translate to energy fueling this car.
Yep, it'll directly let us go or stay.
Is this the future of the automobile industry?
I don't think so, but it's really good. Well, we have to get publicity for MindDrive, but You don't need publicity for everything. So that's what we're trying to do with this.
You know, this is really, Brandon, just an amazing idea to me. I mean, I just can't get over that this is the way this whole thing is going to work.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. VML has been involved with MindDrive for a while now, and we've been looking for the right way to make a big splash with MindDrive. And when this particular idea came up, there was overwhelming support for it, and we're really excited to be involved with MindDrive.
Andrew, the car leaves when?
This Friday.
From Union Station, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a big deal, I guess, right, Steve?
Yeah, 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, yeah.
Please come down.
What is MindDrive?
MindDrive is an after-school program that evolved out of De La Salle High School. It was a class at De La Salle called Creative Studio and Entrepreneurial Studies. And the kids did many different things, but one of the things, because I'm a car guy, we did styling studies for cars. And they built small models, and we translated that into larger models. And the kids kept saying, why can't we build a real car? And I kept saying, we can't do that. And after about 100 times of hearing that, I thought, I'm trying to get these guys to think outside the box, guys and girls, to think outside the box. And they are, and I was the one standing in the box. So we found an old junk race car, and we converted it, and it was very lightweight. And we thought, well, let's make an environmental statement. You know, let's make sure this car is as efficient as possible. We'll use an alternative power source. And then the program kind of grew out of De La Salle to be a standalone 501c3. And that car was taken to Texas, and it got 445 miles per gallon equivalent on their proving grounds of Bridgestone down in Texas.
Wow. Why are you part of this program, Andrew?
Well, I've been in the program for about 4 or 5 months now, and I'm really just here to learn. I'm kind of growing my experience with MindDrive. And
what was the attraction for you to be part of the program?
I'm really interested in cars, and I didn't know much about the program until I visited, and I just feel for me it's a really good way to figure out where I'm headed in life.
So for you, it's just this was more appealing to you than the traditional high school stuff you're having to deal with at Shawnee Mission East, right?
Yeah, much more.
Yeah. And it's what, regular school isn't that interesting, and this is something that really trips your trigger?
Well, I find my interests inside school, but this is just a great program, and I love going to it each weekend. I don't mind getting up Saturday mornings. It's really something to look forward to.
You have to do it on Saturday mornings, too?
Yeah.
All day Saturday?
9 to 1.
So he's a slave driver. Is that the impression I'm getting?
Not
here?
At all.
What happens on Saturday, Steve?
You know, MindDrive, its mission is to inspire students to learn, expand their vision of the future, and influence their future, and help them have a sustainable life. And we do that through involvement by mentors. And we have almost a one-to-one ratio of mentor to student. And the mentors are from many aspects of life. We have metal fabricators and welders and electrical and mechanical engineers. We have a composite engineer. We have Catherine Footer, who's the curator of decorative arts from the Nelson Art Gallery. We have this incredible group of people that work with these students. And, you know, the students come in, and oftentimes they don't know where they're headed in the future, and they may not have a high expectation. But through this, standing shoulder to shoulder with someone like that for 16 weeks, they have a much different perspective on life. And we're really kind of, you know, you could say, how do you measure what we do? Our measurement is really back at their core high school and their increased capacity there, because they know where they want to go in the future.
So your students come from everywhere, it sounds like.
We have students from 5 different high schools, primarily in the urban core of the city. De La Salle, Alta Vista, University Academy. We've had them from Lincoln Prep. We have Center High School, Shawnee Mission East, a couple of kids from there.
Brandon, what's VML's interest here? Why are you guys engaged here?
VML is quite active in nonprofits, and a certain percentage of our annual time is always been and will always continue to be, as far as I know, to be invested in nonprofits. And maybe a year ago was when VML had another activity. It was a car show. And we invited MindDrive to come out and show their cars. And it was just so clear when MindDrive came out, how much interest there was, not just as a corporate partnership, but the individuals in VML, whether they were car enthusiasts or technology buffs or just appreciated a beautiful car, that slowly more and more VMLers started getting involved with MindDrive just on their own. And I think we hit a critical mass earlier this year or so where the interest was there, the mechanisms were already in place to do something together, and just everything was right. So we pulled the trigger on this one.
Well, if you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date, and we're talking about powering a car from Kansas City to D.C. on the power of Facebook posts, Instagram follows, tweets, and hashtags. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888 is our phone number, our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. You can also tweet us at @KCURUpToDate. So, Andrew, who's actually driving the car from Kansas City to D.C., and how's all that going to work?
Students and mentors both get the opportunity to drive the car.
So people are taking turns then?
Yeah.
And meeting the car along the way?
Mm-hmm.
And what's your leg going to be?
I'm not sure where I'll be driving it, but I'll be driving it at some point along the way.
Yeah.
Last week we actually got the chance to take it out to the police academy track and do the first testing there, which was great. It was so fun.
How did it perform?
It performed really well. It's a really smooth driving car, probably even smoother than the original Karmann Ghia.
Really? I bet it's pretty quiet, too. Am I right?
Very quiet, yeah.
What's that like?
It's odd. I've never driven an electric car. I've driven hybrids, but this is just, you can't compare it to anything else. It's completely silent.
So, Steve, you just tested this thing last week, and you're about to launch a bunch of kids and mentors from Kansas City to D.C. This thing better work.
Well, last year we took a car from San Diego to Jacksonville, Florida, and it was an old Lotus Esprit, and it was chain drive. And so this is – we're using – it's stepped-up technology, and we've learned a lot as we go along from each project. And we were pretty confident – we took it out again yesterday and drove it for 60 miles and did some analytics on that. And but there is a lot of pressure to make this work.
I can, after being on the show, there's going to be, buddy. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it sounds like, yeah, how confident are you here?
You know, we are confident. I mean, mm-hmm. we have a great machine shop. And, you know, when we put the motor on the transaxle of the car, it was just so smooth, and it was because of them. So we have really great people that have helped us with the components and things like that. So we are confident.
I was going to say, how is this car different than a typical car outside of the fuel system? I guess it's electric rather than gasoline, but how else is it different?
It's pretty interesting. The if you take a Volkswagen and take the motor out, or the motor, and you leave the transmission or the transaxle in the back of the car, so the axles are all the same, the wheels and tires, the brakes are the same, the steering's the same. So all you're really doing is putting a transition plate and then the motor, and then you have three sets of batteries that when it's all said and done, the weight of the car is...
Three sets of batteries in the same car?
Yeah, in this particular car, we have 30 lithium-ion batteries, and there are 20 in the back and 10 in the front. When it's all done, the car weighs about the same, even with all of these batteries.
How does this translate to, again, to what cars might look like at some point down the road?
Well, we're learning a lot about how cars are designed and what influences efficiency. We know that weight influences aerodynamic drag, the coefficient of drag, the frontal area of the car.
Yeah.
So you're going to start to see those aspects of design become more and more efficient, and because it influences even the rolling resistance of tires. Like Bridgestone has an Ecopia tire that gets another 5% efficiency in your fuel economy.
How does that happen? I mean, what kind of tire is it?
It's just like any other tire, but it has a construction that gives it less resistance, less friction. You know, if you were driving down a track with a train, there's no friction at all. If you're driving through the mud with a big snow tire, there's a lot of friction. So these are particular tires designed, and it's becoming more and more a piece of awareness in the puzzle of how do you design an efficient car.
Well, Brandon, how many tweets, retweets, hashtag likes, all that stuff do you need, again, to make this thing go for an hour or 5 hours? Give me some sense of that.
Sure. So our unit of measurement is the social watt, right? And a number of interactions will generate the social watts that we need. We calculated that the trip will take 71,040 actual watts to get the car from Kansas City to Washington, D.C.
All right.
So that's our currency, if you will. We've pegged the social watt to the actual watt, so we need 71,040 social watts, which equates to about 25,000 social interactions. Mm-hmm. And we came up with this number by looking at what MindDrive has achieved in the past in terms of social interactions and what the sponsors have also achieved in similar programs. And we wanted to make, come up with a number and a ratio that made sense and was attainable.
Well, if people want to participate who are listening to this interview and they want to take part in this and help fuel this car, they should do what?
They can do a number of things. They can choose.
I never ask, right?
Yeah. Thank you. Well, first, they can follow MindDrive on Twitter and like them on Facebook. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing you can do. That's going to get you access to whatever is in store for them with their trip, the information about experiential learning. That would start there. The next thing you can do is send a tweet with the hashtag MindDrive, mm-hmm. or take an Instagram photo of something maybe car related or something that kids are passionate about or listeners are passionate about, and tag that with hashtag MindDrive, as well as visit the YouTube channel and watch the videos. There's a fantastic video right now.
I did that, yeah.
I mean, it's really well done. It really shows what the program is about and that this is no small task that they've done.
So if you have 71,400 tweets, retweets, hashtags prior to the trip starting, are you in good shape? Can the batteries hold that and get you all the way to D.C. based on that?
So in theory, we've calculated what we think it's going to take. But once the trip starts going, we'll really see if our wattage estimates are accurate. Who knows? It may take more watts in order to get there. We'll see as we go.
Steve, the car won't go for a day unless you have enough built-up energy to make it go for the entire day, right?
Well, it's each charging session.
Yes,
okay. That's correct. Yeah.
And so you have to charge it up overnight? Is that how it works?
We'll charge it. We can go 60 miles on a charge, and it takes us 2.5 hours to charge it. So along the trip, we'll drive 60 miles to a destination like Youngstown, Ohio, and for 2.5 hours, the students will make a presentation to high school students there, Youngstown State University, the Science Center there. So then we're charging while that's happening, and then we go off on our next leg, and then the students make another presentation. So
you go 60 miles, but then you have to charge for 2.5 hours.
But if you think about it, today at 110 volts, a lot of people have to charge something like that for 8 hours. So we're taking our own generator that allows us to pump 220 volts in, and it charges more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we took 480 volts, and we were able to charge in actually an hour, mm-hmm. just a little over an hour.
Andrew, what would you want to tell kids your age about this program and sort of what this has meant to you? What would you say to them?
Well, I'm just glad to be in the program. It's really opened up a lot of opportunities for me. And I just say pursue what you really love.
What was your involvement with this car? What did you do exactly?
I've done multiple different things on the car. When I got into the program, the car was, the paint was already on it. And I really got there when we started to bolt on the axles, the wheels, putting all the brake assemblies.
And you help with all that.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest part, the biggest challenge you faced getting it together?
It's hard to say. We have small difficulties, but it really goes together pretty smoothly with all the experience we have coming from the mentors.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like Danny Alexander, our producer here today, says you currently have almost 138,000 social watts. So are you already have what you need, or do you need more still?
Well, we actually have all the power we need to physically move the car up there. The response has been overwhelming. And the interesting thing is the response that we've gotten from people is all about education and all about what mind drive means in terms of some of the turmoil in education in the United States today. It's a little glimmer of hope that there's a way to engage kids, especially kids that might, you know, not have the opportunities that others would.
Meaning the hands-on, daily experience as opposed to sitting back in a classroom trying to absorb knowledge, right?
Exactly. They learn about ratios by looking at gears. And so it is hands-on. And so the message is really becoming what we drive now. The car has the fuel. The car is going to carry the message to Washington, and it's people's opportunity to express their support or their interest in the kind of approach that MindDrive has.
Brandon, what plans do you have to expand MindDrive to other cities?
That might be more of a question for Steve.
Steven,
if it's related to the program.
Well, you know, we've been evolving for about 3 years, and our interest right now is to be able to provide people outside of Kansas City with the concept and data about how we've done what we've done. I think down the road we're going to probably start to develop affiliations and the opportunity for expanding in that way. But right now I think our strong interest is just getting the word out and finding other people. And it's coming. In all of these responses we've had, there's been a great number of people that have similar programs or things that they'd like to do similar to this. And so we feel like there's really an opportunity to help spread it on a grassroots level.
What's the difference between MindDrive and the traditional shop class that I took part in when I was a kid?
There really isn't much. I mean, I would say the big difference is the mentors involved and the real-world application.
It's sort of a supercharged shop class, it sounds like.
Yeah, so we're dealing in current issues. We're dealing with technology. We're dealing with environmental issues that are, strong issues in our culture today. So I think that's probably the difference is the effect that we have because of the mentors and the fact that it is real-world circumstances about real-world issues today.
You know, Andrew, when you get there, you're going to meet with Congressman Cleaver. You're going to meet with representatives from the Department of Energy and the Department of Transportation. What's that going to be like for you?
Frankly, it's going to be a little nerve-wracking, but
yeah.
I'm really looking forward to the experience.
What do you want to tell Congressman Cleaver about all this?
I really just want all
those
guys
to say thank you very much.
Yeah. I mean, if they can spread the word, they are congressmen. They have the power to do that, and we're spreading the word all over the world.
Yeah.
And we're getting great publicity, but we need publicity inside our government, inside politicians, to really get programs like this rolling.
What do you want Congressman Cleaver to know, Steve?
I want him to know that there are really positive results from this and that it's having a strong influence in our community. And that it is something to pay attention to. It isn't the solution, but it is a potentially significant portion of the solution.
And again, if folks want to see this car leave Union Station 2:00 this coming Friday, right?
That's right.
All right. Well, I want to thank Brandon Knott with VML, Steve Reese, the CEO of MindDrive, and Andrew Treese. He's a junior at Shawnee Mission East High School. And thank you all for coming in today. Really enjoyed the conversation, and good luck on the journey.
Thank you.
Hope you make it.
We will.
The pressure's on.
We'll get there.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thanks again, the MindDrive trip launches from Union Station on Friday, 2:00. You can find more information about all of this in our broadcast at kcur.org. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. Our program is produced by Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, Beth Lipoff, Caitlin Brennan, and Sangeeta Sastry. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you are up to date.